As we turn to God's word this evening, the portion of scripture I want to focus upon is verse 25 here in Proverbs 29. This verse declares, "The fear of man bringeth the snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." It is the second half of this verse that I want to take for my text this evening, as we consider the vital and important subject of trusting the Lord. The subject of trusting the Lord. Now, though it is the second part of this verse that I want us to particularly concentrate upon, we should also note carefully what is said in the first part of this verse. Solomon, as he is moved by the Spirit of God to write these words, is using contrast here. He is emphasizing one particular truth by contrasting it with that which is false and wrong. He not only holds up the light, but he also holds up that which is darkness. And by contrasting one against the other, the light appears all the more glorious and all the more bright and all the more clear. More often than not, this is the form of teaching that Solomon employs throughout the book of Proverbs. He uses contrast, contrasting that which is good with that which is evil. Just notice a couple of verses here in this very chapter that we have just read together. See what it says in verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But, there we have the contrast, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so he's contrasting one against the other. Verse 7 says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but, again there's the contrast, the wicked regardeth not to know it. And so the righteous are merciful and kind to the poor, but the wicked, well, they do not want to know. They're not interested. Verse 11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And again, we have contrast here. And then verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. In all of these verses, Solomon sets that which is true and right over against that which is false and wrong. He uses contrast to highlight and emphasize the good and the right. Well, in our text this evening, this is also what Solomon is doing. He is contrasting here, he's using contrast here to teach us how important it is that we as sinful men and women trust in the Lord. He's emphasizing the importance of trusting in the Lord through contrast. Yet notice what Solomon sets over against putting our trust in the Lord here in our text. He says, the fear of man bringeth the snare. And then we have the word but, showing there's contrast here. Whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The contrast then to trusting in the Lord is to fear men. When we do not trust in the Lord, when we do not put our confidence in him, then we are guilty of fearing men. The word fear here means to reverence or respect. Therefore, that which we are taught in this verse is, in this world, men and women either trust in God, look to him and listen to him, or else they reverence and respect men, they look to men, and they listen to that which men say. This is the great contrast that Solomon sets before us here in this verse of scripture. The contrast between those that put their trust in the Lord and those, on the other hand, that fear men and give ear to that which men say. Now, as we think of this contrast that Solomon emphasizes here, we can also say this is really the great contrast. This is the great divide that is to be found in this world. This is the very thing. This is the one thing that truly divides all the peoples of this world into two different and distinct groups. There are those that trust in the Lord, those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are the rest, those that fear men, those that live their lives according to the thinking philosophy and teachings of men. And this really is the great divide in our world today. Those that trust in the Lord and those that fear men, those that live by the theories and the teachings and the philosophies and the opinions of men. This is the divide in our world. The great contrast in our world is between trusting in the Lord and fearing men. The question then that we all must ask ourselves this evening, as we consider the contrast in this verse of Scripture, is, on what side of this verse am I found on? Am I one who is trusting in the Lord? Is this where I'm found? Or do I fear men? Do I follow the wisdom of men? Do I walk in the ways of men? On what side of our text are you found? As we will see in examining this verse of Scripture, it is vitally important that we're found amongst those that are trusting in the Lord. Found amongst those that are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where there is safety. Eternal safety and eternal salvation. And then coming to the subject of trusting the Lord, there are a number of things that I want us to note here in this verse of Scripture this evening. In the first place, I want us to consider why we should trust the Lord. Why we should trust the Lord. As our text brings before us this matter of trusting the Lord, this is really where we must begin. We must consider why. Why should we trust the Lord? Why is this something which is good and right and that all men should do? Put their trust in the Lord. Of course, over and over again in God's Word, we're not only told that we should trust the Lord, but we're actually commanded. We're commanded to trust in Him. Proverbs 3 in the verse 5 declares, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Now, this is not mere advice. This is God's command to man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Psalm 37 verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." In Psalm 62 in the verse 8 we read, "Trust in Him that is the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." All of these verses set forth a command. And this is what God is saying to men. This is God's command to all men in our world tonight. Trust in Me. Put your faith in Me. Believe in Me. This is God's command to all men. The prophet Jeremiah proclaimed in Jeremiah 17 in the verse 7, "Blessed or happy is that man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." This is where there's happiness. This is where there's blessedness. In trusting in the Lord. And there are many, many other verses of Scripture that bring before us this vitally important matter that we should trust in the Lord. Yet, why should we trust the Lord? Or to put it a different way, what basis do we have to trust in the Lord? And this is a question we must consider. What basis do we have to put our trust, our confidence in the Lord? We should never trust anyone or anything if we do not have a good reason to place our trust there. We should never trust anything or anyone if we don't have a reason to do so. To trust in someone or something blindly and ignorantly is not to behave in a wise or sensible manner. Instead, it is to behave in a foolish and dangerous manner. A very foolish manner. Let me illustrate this by using a ridiculous illustration. Imagine you were going on holidays and you went to the airport to catch a plane and to fly off to your holiday destination. As you were waiting in the departure lounge to board your plane, one of the crew from the plane suddenly came into the room and announced that the pilot had taken unwell. He'd taken unwell and he was no longer fit to fly the plane. This person then asked if there was anyone among the passengers who could fly the plane. After a long pause, a man at the back of the room spoke up and he said, "Yes, I would be happy to have a go at flying the plane. I would certainly have a go at it. I would make an attempt at it." The member of the crew then asked this man, "Had he any flying qualifications? Have you any flying experience? Have you ever flew a plane before?" He said, "No, he hadn't, but he would try his best. He would try his best to get everyone safely to the destination." Now imagine this man was then told Okay, you can fly the plane. You can pilot it. Would you trust him with your life? Would you happily board the plane and get on there? Trusting this individual who had never flown a plane before, had no experience or qualifications to do so, would you get on? I don't think there would be many boarding the plane and trusting this man to get them there safely. Now, I know this is a most ridiculous illustration, but it does emphasize the point that trust or distrust is based upon that which we know. It's based upon that which we know. We wouldn't trust such an individual because we know that he wasn't capable of flying the plane. He hadn't the qualifications. He hadn't the experience. Of course, we would have trusted the pilot because we knew he was a pilot, a qualified pilot. And we would be happy to get onto the plane and trust his ability because he had proved himself. So therefore, upon the basis of what we knew, we would trust him. Putting our trust in something is not just jumping into the dark or the unknown, but it's stepping out in that which we know to be true. And that's the point. Wisely putting our trust in something is stepping out upon that which we know to be true. This then brings us back to the question, why should we trust the Lord? Our text says, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord is that which is safe. Whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. But what basis do we have to do this? Why? Why should we trust in the Lord? Well, there's every good reason. There's every good reason why we as sinners should put our trust in the Lord. Let me mention a number of things why we should trust in the Lord and trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And even why not trusting in the Lord is complete foolishness. It is the most foolish behavior. We can say all men should trust in the Lord because of his greatness. That's the first thing. We should trust in the Lord fully because of his greatness. The Bible reveals to us that God is great and glorious in all his ways. He is great in his power. He can do all things. He is great in his perception. He knows all things. He is great in his presence. He is the ever-present one. Psalm 95 verse 3 expresses it like this. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Therefore, because of the greatness of God, because he is the all-powerful one, the all-wise one, the all-present one, we ought to put our trust in him. There's none great as the Lord. There's none that we can put our trust in that is greater than unto him. None whatsoever. There is nothing, there is no one that we can trust that is greater than the Lord. None whatsoever. Indeed, everything else in the light of God's greatness seems completely weak and completely feeble. What can man trust in? What is the greatest thing that man can trust in? Himself? Well, man is weak. Man is feeble. Man's ability is limited. His knowledge is limited. So man will be best trusting in the Almighty God than his weak self. Can he trust in other men? Well, they're weak as well. Can he trust in his riches? They're temporary. Can he trust in anything in this corruptible world? It is passing. But the Lord is the eternal one. He's the great one. And so therefore we couldn't trust in any greater than the Lord. This is what wise men do then. They trust in the Lord because of his greatness. Isaiah 26 verse 4 declares, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. When it comes to dying, it comes to leaving this world behind and going out into the darkness of eternity. This is where we can find real comfort and real hope. Trusting in the Lord. For we know our Heavenly Father is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck us out of his hand. And this is where we can have comfort in death. Knowing that our God is so great and so mighty that he's even greater than death itself. Even greater than death. And therefore we have comfort We have real comfort as we trust in our God and in His greatness. And so all men should trust the Lord because of His greatness. We can also say all men should trust the Lord because of His graciousness. Just think for a moment of how gracious God has been towards man in his sin. How gracious God has been. Psalm 103 verse 10 declares, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What we deserve as sinners is eternal death and to endure the everlasting punishment of hell. This is what each and every individual deserves. Eternal condemnation in hell. Yet how graciously has the Lord dealt with us. He has not stood back and let us suffer that which we justly deserve because of our sin. But He has graciously provided a way of salvation through sending His Son into this world to be our Savior. And this is what God has done in grace. He hasn't stood back and let man and sin perish. But He sent His Son, the darling of His bosom, Jesus Christ. He sent Him into this world to live for us and to go all the way to the cross and to die for us and to shed His blood for our salvation. This is what God has done. Not for good people, not for deserving people, but for sinners, such as we. This is the grace of God. This is how God has revealed His grace to us. Through His Son, providing salvation. Oh, here is the greatest piece of evidence. Then why men ought to trust the Lord with all of their heart. Jesus Christ and what He has done for our salvation. How can we not but trust the One who took our sins upon Himself and stood in the place of our condemnation and suffered the wrath of God that was our due? The cross of Christ in all its agony and pain loudly preaches to us, here is the One that sinners can fully trust. Here's the One that sinners need to trust. The One that shed His blood and gave His life for their salvation. Surely this is what Christ's cross teaches us. He loved us. He gave Himself for us. How can we not but trust Him? Who would ever be so gracious to us as the Lord? Who would ever be so kind to us as the Lord? Therefore, upon this basis, we ought to trust Him. As we stand at Calvary and view in our mind's eye that which Christ has done for sinners, we then can say not to trust the Lord is not only a most foolish thing, but it is also great wickedness. It's a great sin. It is to say Christ is not worthy of my trust. Despite all that He has done, despite Him giving His life's blood, despite Him dying in agony upon the tree, despite Him enduring the wrath of God, not to trust in Him, not to believe in Him, is to say, listen, I do not care what He has done. I'm not putting my trust in Him. He's unworthy for that. It is an act of great sin. All men should trust in the Lord because of His graciousness. His graciousness in providing for our greatest need. Salvation itself. But then we can also say all men should trust the Lord, not only because of His greatness and His graciousness, but also because of His goodness. His goodness. Everything that we enjoy in life is all because of God's goodness towards us. It's all because of God's goodness. Everything we enjoy in this world. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Lamentations 3 speaks of how the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Each day that we live in this world, we are the beneficiaries of God's goodness. We are the beneficiaries. We're daily blessed. It does not matter who you are tonight. It does not matter what family you were born into and what people you've had in your life. There is no one that has been as good to you, continually good to you, as the Lord. Oh, that men could understand that. There's no one that has been as good to you in life. It doesn't matter who you're married to tonight. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter what friends you have had. There's no one in this world that has been as good to you as the Lord. Now think of people that have been good to you. Think of people that have been kind to you, that have helped you in life. You would trust those people. Maybe people you would say, listen, I trust that person with my life. This is what they've done for me. This is how they've been so kind to me. Boy, you can trust that fella. Because listen, this is what he's done for me in the past. And yet the fact is this, there's no one but no one that has been as good to you as the Lord. Therefore, because of his goodness, we ought to be moved to trust him. Acts 17 verse 25 tells us, God giveth to all life and breath and all things. Just think of those words. God giveth to all life. That's existence. The very life you have, your existence in this world, God's give that to you. He gives to your breath. He preserves your life, every breath that you take in your body. God's gave that to you. And then, Paul says here, and all things. God giveth to all life and breath and all things. That's everything else. Everything else we enjoy in life. God's gave that all to you. There is then every reason to put our trust in the Lord. Not only because of his greatness and graciousness, but also because of his goodness. How good he has been. When the Lord says, trust in me, he's not asking us to jump blindly into the darkness or to act in an ignorant way or in a foolish way. He said, I'm the great God. I'm the gracious God. I'm the good God. There's none like unto me. Therefore, trust me. Trust me. Indeed, not to trust the Lord is the act of the greatest foolishness and sin. The response of all men to the Lord ought really to be like that of David in Psalm 18 verse 2, where he declared, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. This was David's response to God. So he considered him, the one who was his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his strength. He says, in whom I will trust. This is the one I will trust in. Trusting the Lord is then what all men ought to do. This is what all men ought to do. Are you trusting in the Lord tonight? Fully trusting in him? And so we have here why we should trust the Lord. The reason why we should trust the Lord. But then, in the second place, in thinking about trusting the Lord, I want us to consider the way to trust the Lord. The way to trust the Lord. Solomon speaks here in our text of the person who putteth his trust in the Lord. We need to understand what it actually means to put your trust in the Lord. What this actually means. Gospel preachers repeatedly and continually exhort their hearers to trust in the Lord. Christians will very often say to other Christians, especially in times of difficulty, you just got to trust the Lord. You got to trust the Lord. And how often that is said from one Christian to another Christian? Maybe one believer's in difficulty, there's a problem that's come into their life, and another brother will just put their arm around them and say, listen, you got to trust the Lord here. You just got to trust the Lord. And this is often what is said. However, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? What actually is involved in the heart and life of a person when they are trusting in the Lord? One of the problems which many church-going people have is they are familiar with certain words and certain phrases. And they may even accept these words and phrases as being right and true. And yet, their understanding of those words and phrases is very shallow at best. They don't really know what they mean. And I believe this very much applies to this phrase, trust in the Lord. Practically everyone who attends a place of worship would say, yes, this is right. This is what we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord. Yet if they were asked to explain what is involved in trusting in the Lord, the chances are they might struggle. They might struggle. What is involved in this? We then need to understand and be clear in our minds what it actually means to trust in the Lord. How can we put our trust in Him? Well, notice with me a number of things in regard to what is involved in trusting in the Lord. Firstly, we can say trusting in the Lord involves a confidence in Him. Confidence in Him. The Hebrew word which is translated trust in our text could also be translated confidence. It could be translated confidence. So we could read this verse, whosoever putteth his confidence in the Lord shall be saved. When we as sinners put our trust or confidence in the Lord, we're looking to Him. We're looking to Him to provide for us all that we need for salvation. And this is what it is to trust in the Lord. It is to put our confidence in God that He is able to supply all that we need as sinners. All that we need for salvation. The best way to illustrate this is to consider some occasions in the Bible where we witness people putting their trust or their confidence in the Lord. Think of the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She was sick, desperately sick. And yet she said, if I may touch but his clothes, but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She was fully confident, therefore, Christ could heal her. Fully confident. And this is why she said, if I could just but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Here we see her confidence in Christ to meet her need. And it's demonstrated for us here what it is to trust in God. Confident that He can meet our need. Think also of the penitent thief on the cross. What confidence this man had in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then you think about the thief on the cross. What sight did he have of Christ? Well, he viewed Christ as one who was dying as he hung there on the cross beside him. He looked upon one who had been beaten, who had been scourged, who had been crucified. His body was a most horrific sight at this particular stage. And yet this man looked past all of this and trusted in Christ. Put his confidence in Christ. Said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Trusting in the Lord involves placing our confidence in Him that He can fully provide for us as sinners. This is what it is to trust in the Lord. Putting our confidence, relying on Him, resting in His atoning work, resting in Him as our Savior for all that we need in salvation. Now, is your confidence in Christ tonight? Is your confidence in Christ? Is your trust in Him? Can you say, it is well with my soul? Because He is my Savior, and I'm trusted in His finished work, His atoning work and salvation. This is my confidence. This is my only plea. This is my only hope tonight for salvation, for eternal life. This is my only hope for the day of judgment. It's Christ. This is what my confidence is in. This is what it is to trust in the Lord. It involves confidence in Him. But then notice also, trusting in the Lord involves a compliance with Him. A compliance with Him. The person who trusts in the Lord lives in compliance with God's word. They seek to obey that which God says. You see, faith and trust in the Lord always produces obedience. Obedience to the Lord. People who don't comply with God's word and don't live in obedience to that which God has said are really just demonstrating through their disobedience, they're not trusting in the Lord. And that's what they do. There's many people who say, listen, oh, I'm a Christian. And they make a profession of faith. And they say they're believers. Trusting in the Lord. But their lives are just filled with disobedience. They just live like the ungodly. And that disobedient life is a manifestation. It is really just revealing that they're not trusting in the Lord at all. They're living for the things of this world. They're fearing man. We see this with the people of Israel as they refused to go into the promised land. God had told the people of Israel they were to go into the promised land and possess it. And this was God's word to them. This was his direction to them, his command to them. But as they heard the report that the 10 evil spies brought back, that in the promised land there were giants, there were great cities, there were armies, then they refused to obey God's word and go in and possess the land. You see, because they were not trusting in the Lord, trusting in him to give them victory over their enemies, they didn't obey the Lord. If they had have been trusting in God, there would have been obedience. The Bible tells us they didn't enter in because of unbelief, because they weren't trusting in the Lord, and so they didn't obey. The evidence that someone is a true believer, they've genuinely put their trust in the Lord, is a life marked by compliance. Compliance to God's word. Surrender to that which God says. They trust the Lord. Therefore, they obey him. They walk in obedience to that which he says. Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Sheep follow their shepherd because they trust him. They know that's the voice. That's the voice of the shepherd who cares. That's the voice of the shepherd who guards and provides. It's the voice they trust. And they follow that shepherd. Now, are you following Christ in your life? Is there this compliance, this obedience, this submission to the word? If you're trusting in him, if you're really trusting in God and the Lord, then there will be this compliance. There will be this compliance. And so trusting in the Lord involves confidence in him, compliance with him. But then we can also say trusting in the Lord involves a contentedness in him. A contentedness in him. The person who's put their trust in the Lord lives with a contentedness and peace through all the troubles and trials of this life. In our fallen and broken world, there are many things that we cannot understand. And this is the reality of being part of this world. There are many things that we cannot understand. Things that happen to us. Things that happen to other people. We can't explain them. We can't understand them. Sickness. Suffering. Sadness. Sorrow. And we have no explanation for these things happening to certain people. And yet the person who is trusting the Lord still possesses a peace and an assurance in the midst of the storms of life. For they know that Christ has said, "Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The person who's trusting the Lord knows this. They know they can't be separated from the love of God. They know they can never perish. They know they cannot be plucked out of God's hand. They know they belong to Christ and he cares for them. And so even in all the difficulties and troubles of life, because they're trusting, there is a peace and a contentedness still within their soul. Think of Job. No one in this life has ever suffered like godly Job. Oh, how he suffered. We couldn't even begin to comprehend what this man suffered. Lost everything. All his wealth, his home, his family, his health. His wife turned against him. And he just lay in the ashes, scraping his body with a piece of broken Delphic or china. And there he was in the ashes. Yet this is what Job declared in the midst of all of his grief. He said this in Job 13 verse 5. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." See, this is where he had contentedness. He knew that even though worms would destroy this body, yet in his flesh he would see the Lord. That's what he declared. Even in the midst of his great troubles, there was a contentedness. Trusting in the Lord then involves a confidence in him, a compliance with him, and a contentedness in him. Now then, are these things found in your life?
Can you identify with these things? Even as I've been preaching tonight, can you say, oh, I know exactly what you're saying. I can identify with that confidence. Yes, it is my heart's desire to live in compliance to God's word. And yes, I know about that contentedness. Because this is the person who's truly trusting in the Lord. This is the true Christian, the true believer. Now, is this you? Is this you tonight? Put your trust in the Lord. How important it is that you're found in this position. Maybe it's not the case. Well, tonight you need to trust in the Lord. You need to recognize your need of Him as your Savior and flee to Him. We've then considered the way to trust the Lord as well as why we should trust the Lord. The final thing I want to note here just very quickly, I'm only going to mention it. And that is the wisdom in trusting the Lord. The wisdom in trusting the Lord. Our text makes it abundantly clear why it is the wise thing to put our trust in the Lord. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The person who putteth their trust in the Lord shall be safe. This word safe does not just mean to be defended, but it also means to be exalted. To be exalted. Not just to be defended and kept safe in that sense, but it means to be exalted up to a position of honor. Now this is the position that each and every person who puts their trust in the Lord is found in. They're not only defended by God and delivered from danger. And of course, this is the person who has put their trust in the Lord. This is the position they're found in. They're defended by God. And that's a glorious truth. You put your trust in Christ tonight. Christ will defend you to the very end. On the day of judgment, He will defend you against the holy justice of God. And that's what He will do. In the judgment day, when you stand before God, Christ will stand up and defend you with His righteousness and with His atoning work. And this is why you will be safe. Because you put your trust in Him. That's a glorious truth. A blessed truth. But not only is this verse teaching us this, but it's also saying that we will not only be defended, but exalted by the Lord. And think of it this way. As you stand in the judgment, Christ will defend you first of all. And then after defending you before the judgment of God's holy court, He will bring you out of the court. And He will say, come with me into my Father's house. And you will be exalted to glory. And dwell in His presence forever. Whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. What a truth that is. Blessed truth. Therefore, the wisest and most important thing that anyone could ever do, the most essential thing that all sinners must do, is simply to trust in the Lord with all their heart. Trust in Him. Confess that they are sinners lost and undone. Helpless sinners who cannot save themselves. And trust in the Lord. Oh, don't fear men. Don't follow the thinking of this world. Don't go in the way of this world. Don't be influenced by the things of this world. Don't fear men, for it bringeth a snare. Brings the snare of death, eternal death and hell. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord and know God's salvation and eternal safety in heaven. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I pray that each one here tonight will in all sincerity be found in this position, trusting in the Lord. May God be pleased to bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen and amen.